Well, good morning on this, the 2nd of May, would you believe? Goodness, is that a month now that we have, pretty much most of a month we've been on lockdown, or maybe a bit longer?
Yeah, Mother's Day was Sunday.
Goodness. Anyway, welcome to Bethel Baptist Church, Lord's Day morning service for you. For us, it's a Sabbath day morning service, but we're glad that you can join us. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. And then we're going to sing 105 out of the hymn books. Don't forget, at any time whenever you're checking references and looking for hymn numbers, we've got them all prepared, but you're quite at liberty to press the pause button and make the most of it, because it'll be the only time you'll be able to press the pause button and get me to stop talking. No matter how many times you point a remote at me in real life and press the stop. All right, let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. And I thank you, Lord, for thank you for feeling good today, Lord. This is a day I could definitely say I've been really looking forward to spending time in your house and in your word and bringing the word of God. And I'm sure regardless of how it turns out, and I pray it'll hit the nail on the head for somebody, that I'm just looking forward to being here and being in your presence. I'm thankful, and Lord, of your many promises, especially the one that wherever two or three are gathered in your presence, that you'll be there in the midst. And Lord, whether there's one person listening to you, they're there in your presence with us, Lord, even now. And I pray your good hand upon each and every one of us. I'd like just to remember the folks that we know that listen to the service, and if you've clicked on it from the internet, well, and you know us, well, we've probably prayed for you already. And if we don't mention you, we're thinking on you. Lord, please be with Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank at this time. And I pray for your good hand upon them and for answered prayers. Remember also, Lord, John and Will. Pray that you would bless them too and look after and comfort and strengthen, especially at these times as well. For Christine and Mary Ann, for Will and Rachel, and for Lily Ann, and of course for Reggie as well. You remember too, Lord, Rita, and I know, Lord, she's very frail, and I pray that she's still going on with you, Lord, even though she's having a difficult time. And she's not able to get out of her bed, and she's well up in years, Lord. Please, I pray you give Elaine and Hilary everything they need to look after their mom in these her twilight years. Pray you for Esther as well, Father, that you would touch her body and comfort her in heart and mind. And Lord, that you would save her children and her grandchildren, Lord. We think too on Brother Christie, Lord, as he labours, I do believe, even more so than whenever he was, in quotes, working. We know, Lord, there's a lot of work collating data and one thing and another, and that's only the tip of what he does. And I pray that you would bless him and inspire him and help him to be a help to others around and about him and to the country as a whole. I pray you too for Taylor. Pray for your good hand upon her, that you would keep her well and that you would save her dad if he's not saved already, Lord. Remember to Norman, Lord, and pray for comfort and strength for him. Pray that you would just let him know that you're there with him, Lord. And Lord, I am sure he's busy as a bee, working away on projects and this, that and the other. Please, Lord, inspire him and strengthen him. And Lord, we're not forgetting Pat and Steve at this time and all of their family. Lord, I pray for the salvation of lost loved ones. I pray you, Lord, for the easing of aches and pains and for the healing of Steve's leg or legs, Lord. Please help him there. And for Pat as well. She has her aches and pains as well. We all do, and I pray for those too. And speaking of aches and pains, Lord, I know Carol has some difficulty with her arms. And I pray you, Lord, please, for a wee bit of comfort and grace and even healing for that too. Be with Brother John, Lord, as he beats the pants off me, Lord, memorizing those verses. And Lord, Be with Stephen as well, I pray. Please put your good hand upon Norman, Lord, and Noel and Joan, upon Terence McLaughlin, upon Jane. Lord, I pray for your good hand and comfort and strength for Harry and Marie, and of Carol as well, Lord. Pray for Stephen and Anne-Marie. And Lord, I just tip my cap and thank him, Lord, again for, thank you for just putting on his heart to cut the grass, Lord. That was such a great help. Pray you too for Henry and Evelyn, Lord. For Sammy and Kate, and I know they have their fair share of health difficulties, Lord. Please, Lord, put your good hand upon them. Save souls, Lord, too. Please save Sally. Be with Alan Leslie, Lord, and Pearl Hetherington. And I know, Father, there are many others that that know you, that need to know you. And especially our farthest flung members, Lord, Georgina and Maslin Fleckner, and my dad, I think, right now as well. So please look after John Bradfield as well. Lord, there are so many things. I just thank you, Lord, that we can call these things out. Even when we have no power to do anything, we know that you do. I pray you all of these names, Lord. I pray them into your presence. I pray you, Lord, that you would give exactly what they need. And I'm not forgetting my wife either, Lord. Please give her continued patience and wherewithal. And Lord, I pray you for healing for myself. We just love you and thank you, Lord. And we look forward to spending this next wee while in your presence. I just ask this all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All righty. I'm not a big fan of long prayers, but do you know what? I just need to call people's names out. 105. I'm going to sing All That Thrills My Soul.
Oh. Right, we are going to have our Bible reading today. It's from James chapter 4, and I want to thank Brother Steve for his choice of gospel reading this morning. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, don't forget, you can just press the pause and go and get that. Don't forget as well that I took a few minutes before the service began to mark all these out in my Bible. So press pause, find the portion in your Bible in the New Testament, James chapter 4, and then press play again. Amen. The Word of God says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Amen. Alrighty. Right, close up your Bibles again. Thank you for the Bible reading. Thank you for the prayers. And I just want to take a moment or two to bring you a couple of announcements. First of all, don't forget to pray for each other. I know there are rumblings in the corridors of power that may allude to things relaxing a little bit. But please do pray that the Lord's will be done, and please do look after yourselves and treat yourselves accordingly. I want to bring you a family that you could be praying for at this time that lost a wife and a mother and a grandmother, the Gilbert family in Black Creek Baptist over in America. That's the church that Monica's mom and dad go to and help out at. So please do pray for Pastor Asquith as he ministers to the Gilbert family at this time, and Ed Gilbert. His wife Jane passed away just a couple of days ago. She had some health issues, and I think they got the better of her in the end. So please do pray for the whole Gilbert family and the Black Creek Baptist Church family as well. We met them a few times, every church service pretty much, whenever we were over there just about this time last year. And they're very, very nice people. Please do pray. Amen. Don't forget to, like I said, pray for each other. And I know each family that sits here in the church, they do have their private prayer requests. And things are
Things are never easy when they change. There's a period of adjustment. I pray this period doesn't have to last too much longer and we can adjust back to our normal behaviours. But in the meantime, just remember that you're serving the Lord no matter where you are and no matter what you're doing. I'm sure Joseph had a bit of a culture shock whenever he was chucked in a pit and sold as a slave and then chucked in prison. I'm sure he had a bit of a culture shock, but he kept his eyes upon the Lord and the Lord blessed him. Daniel too, a lot of culture shock, definitely taken out of his comfort zone and definitely made very uncomfortable for a little while. But he kept his eyes on the Lord and he served the Lord and ended up being exalted, just like that portion of scriptures in James chapter 4. If you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord in due time, he will lift you up or you'll be exalted. Please do pray for each other. I can't think, are there any more prayer requests? Anything else? Oh yes, sorry, I was actually thinking about the Quigley family as I was speaking about the Gilbert family. Lifelong friends of Pat's family, the Moore family, down in Tully Alley, please do pray for the Quigley family that lost a mom and a grandmother there just a few days ago. Please do pray for them. Pray that souls would be saved in that family. I know it is a difficult time for all friends and acquaintances that knew her. So please do pray. Please continue to pray for our health service workers. The only half a dozen or so that come to my mind are the ones that I met quite regularly whenever I was there back in December. And I would ask for your prayers for Emma and Gemma and Rachel and Andrea and Sebe. Those ladies took very good care of me and I am sure they are doing the same for many others. For Ahmed, he was a junior doctor. He was a great help to me getting into hospital and getting better. And of course, the consultants and the surgeons, Mr. Marzouk and Mr. Goodwani. So I gave them a pen each, and I hope they're writing good at the moment. Now, the last bit's a joke. The first little bit of that's true. Please do pray for our health service workers. And I know there are many other people who don't get the choice of having to go into work. They have to be in work. Please do pray for them as well. There's a lot of people going out of their way a lot to keep the wheels of our country turning, albeit slowly and in a limited capacity. Please do pray. And there was one thing that just came to mind as I was this past few days. I was really annoyed at Hermes because I got a couple of parcels back and I could get nowhere with them. And in order to get them out the door, I had to purchase more postage online. So it cost me another £6 or £7, maybe even £8. And this was annoying me. And then I thought, you know what? If that is all that I have to be annoyed about at this time, when even they are going out of their way to keep the wheels turning, I have little to be annoyed about. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to forgive them for it. I'm going to forget about it. And I am just going to, I think we have a tub of sweets up in the top of the cupboard. Next time I see him, he's going to walk away with a tub of chocolate. I'm sure it'll not do his sugars or his waistline any good, but it'll sure help me feel better and I'm sure the token will be appreciated. Don't forget, people are having a difficult time trying to make things work and be gentle with them. Be gentle with each other. Because whenever this is all said and done, it'll be back to work as normal and people will remember how you treated them. Because this is what we're really like whenever we're out of our comfort zone. Please do pray. Don't forget our missions outreach. Please pray for the Forrest family over in America. Paul Forrest not very well and in hospital. Please do pray for Francis and Nita and Norlisa and Tony and Anthony at this time. There are missionaries to the Philippines. I think they were originally talking about going to, was it South America? Venezuela to whenever they'd gathered support. But whenever this all came around, I think they're hunkered down over in mainland England somewhere. So pray for Francis and his family. There are many other missionaries that are out there in the world. Please do also pray for Kids for Schools and the Christian Institute, especially the Christian Institute, because they're the ones that are going to fight your corner if you're ever hauled over the coals for taking a stand for Christ. So please do pray for them as well. Don't forget our support for them and our mission support. That will be going out whenever things get back to normal. Of course, we don't have as much to give them this year because of the way the church has been closed, but they will still be getting their support. I think that's about that. Yeah? Mrs. Bradfield shrugging her shoulders and shaking her head, so I think we're all done. Amen. All right, quick word of prayer, and then we'll sing you another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for your word, for your son, for your house. Lord, even if we can't, again, be there together in the flesh, we can be together in the spirit with you. Just thank you for loving us and watching over us. And we pray your good hand upon us as we just enjoy this time together. We love you and praise you. And we ask all of our prayer requests and private prayer requests too. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 325. 325 is Trust and Obey.
We walk with the Lord in the night of hymn books for a little bit. And we can take out our Bibles this morning. And if you would like to take and turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. And I would like to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of all that glitters is not gold. 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah, by the word of the Lord, unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent or broken, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. And so he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. And so he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say unto thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. Amen. Amen. All that glitters is not gold. Verse number 18 is our text this morning, and we will be spending just a few minutes on the subject of all that glitters is not gold. A quick prayer and then we will begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you again that we can come before you and just pray you for every man that stands preaching the full counsel of your word, Lord. Please bless him with the words to speak. And Lord, I pray you for soft hearts ready to receive that engrafted word. Please put your good hand upon every single soul that loves you and wants to find out what direction their lives need to take, or needs a bit of comfort or grace or healing or direction. Lord, please take this time and use it to accomplish that. Please be with us, Lord. Watch over us and keep us. And bless this time in your presence and in your word. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. 1 Kings 13. All that glitters is not gold. Verse 18 is our text, where this prophet in this land said unto the other prophet from Judah, I am a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. All right. This portion of God's word records the events in the generation after the generation of King Solomon, the wisest of all kings. Well, he was supposed to be the wisest of all kings, but he stored up for himself a lot of trouble in his 1,000 wives and concubines. And eventually, of course, they led him into sin towards the end of his life. But it is an object lesson of what exactly can happen whenever a leader in a country goes off the rails and starts worshipping idols and false prophets. Because at this time, the kingdom has been split in two. Rehoboam is leading the godly portion of the children of Israel. And Jeroboam, he is leading the worldly portion of the other 10 tribes of the children of Israel. He has, just in the previous chapter, made 2 golden calves, and he has set these up so that the people of God don't have to go to Judah, the tribe of Judah, to be ministered to and to hear the word of God. He sets these up, and of course, these become a snare, a temptation, and a great deal of trouble. Because whenever you worship gods that you can make with your hands, well, then you can make those gods say and do just whatever you want. But you know what? Regardless of whether we obey or disobey, God still loves. He loves everybody, and he wants everybody to be saved, especially those of his wayward children in the kingdom of Israel. And so he sends a man from Bethel, a prophet, a priest or a prophet. Prophet's not necessarily someone that's going to tell the future, but someone that speaks the full counsel of God's word. And he tells the prophet to preach against Israel, to preach against Jeroboam, to preach against the way they worship God, all of these things. And as he does in the temple, Jeroboam is there offering incense at the altar, which he shouldn't have been doing. That was the job of the high priest. And he turns round and he points at this man and he says, take him. And as soon as he utters the words, God, his hand withers away and he can't move it. And all of a sudden he has a bit of an idea that he is standing in the presence of a man with the very power of God. And he's a changed man. And he says, oh, please ask God to fix my hand.
And just before that, the sign that the priest gave that the altar would be broken and all the ashes would be poured out, that just happened. I don't know if it's sliced in two or if it just falls apart, but that's exactly what happens, and Jeroboam is humbled, albeit temporarily. And he says, thank you very much. Why don't you come to my house and I'll feed you and water you so that you've provision for yourself on the way home, and I'll even give you a reward for sparing my life. And the prophet says, that's all very well, O king, but first of all, maybe in his head he said, you're a very wicked king and you're leading your people astray with your false gods and your calves and one thing and another. I don't know, sometimes things are best kept inside and spoken with your inside voice. But he says to the king, God has told me you're not to eat or drink or take anything or go or even go home the way you came. And so he goes. And as he's going, there's another priest in Bethel. But he's not much of a priest. He's a bit of a compromiser. He's a priest that was comfortable in a country given over to worshiping idols. He's a priest that was comfortable letting the king do just whatever he liked, even though God had commanded otherwise. A priest that was never molested for his stand for God. And his sons were in the temple. And they saw all that happened and heard all that happened. And they went home and told their dad, 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 there was a real priest came to the temple today. And this is what happened. And this is what he said to the king. And the priest says to his sons, get my donkey ready. I'm going to get this guy and I'm going to bring him home. Now, I don't know why that he wanted to shut him up. Because he'd heard the words that the prophet gave. Or did he just want the company of someone that was a real priest, that was really in touch with God, that was really obeying? I have a notion that he wanted to shut him up because he made him feel bad. Because the word of God says in verse number 18, our text, the priest said to the prophet, O prophet, come to my house and eat with me. And the prophet says, God has told me not to. I'm not to eat anything or drink anything, and I am to go home a different way. And just the sheer fact that God had told him not to eat anything or drink anything means that all of this had to take place within pretty much a day or a very short period of fasting. This priest stands up and lies through his teeth to get what he wants. He says, an angel appeared to me and told me to bring you to my house, to feed you and to water you, to give you something to drink. And he goes. Prophet goes, and he's eating, and he's having a drink of whatever it is that he was having to drink in this compromised priest's house, when God grabs a hold of the compromised priest and tells him he's done. You have disobeyed me because you have eaten and drunken in the place that I told you not to eat and drink. Your body will not lie in the sepulchre of your fathers. In other words, you're going to die in a strange land. And obviously now realizing his mistake, he gets up and he leaves and he's killed by a lion on the way home. But he's not mauled to death, he's killed. And the lion stands on one side of him and the donkey on the other. And if you read on, you'll find that the priest, maybe stricken with conscience, I don't know. Maybe the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, even for that moment, was enough to straighten him out. But he realized, and I think he owed the prophet, and he went and got the body and buried him in his own sepulchre, in his own tomb. Sadly, things did not go much better for the country after that, and there were many generations of wicked kings that caused a great amount of trouble and caused many souls to go into a Christless eternity after that. But I got to thinking about this little story and about how much it is like
not just the way things are today, more so today, but how things have always been in the grand history of man. There is God, the Word of God in this case. There are false prophets in many guises, just some out-and-out anti-Christians and some compromised preachers. Of course, there is also God's prophet. There are the lost and the Christ rejectors, and there's judgment. In this particular case and today, we have the full counsel of God's Word, that is the King James Bible. And if you don't have one as you listen to this, contact us and we'll get you one. The details are on the website. If you've got a CD, you know me already. But contact us and we'll get you one. It is infallible. It is historically accurate. It will be and has been prophetically accurate. It is personally accurate. It is comforting. It is strengthening. It gives discernment. It inspires. It gives purpose. It chastens. It'll straighten you out when you go wrong. But it also assures you of your home in heaven whenever you repent and trust in Christ alone as your Saviour. And lastly, it commands and constrains. The Word of God says, if you mess with my Word, you risk your eternity. At the very, very end of the Bible in Revelation 22, there's a couple of great little verses. Revelation 22 and verse number 18, you can turn there or you can just listen. These are the last words that were given to John the Apostle, whenever he was on the Isle of Patmos before the Lord left off dealing with him. And he said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. In other words, the plagues that are visited upon the lost. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written. In other words, your name will be out of the Lamb's book of life and you'll go into hell in the lake of fire. We ought to let God, his word, have its way in our life instead of us having our way in the Word of God. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The thief cometh up a different way. There is one way to heaven, and Jesus provides it. That's the Word of God, and it's in a nutshell because it's not the whole focus of our message this morning, but those that take it and mess about with it. Now, sometimes many preachers feel good when they stand at the front of the pulpit because they're pointing out into the congregation, and they never really get to checking themselves, but false preacher really comprises about half the story here. And these are men, and indeed women, that remove huge chunks of the Bible. And as they do that, and many, and again, it's worth a Bible study just all by itself. Here is what happens whenever you read and believe things like the NIV Bible. First of all, there's no room for you in heaven, because there is God's one and only Son, not his only begotten Son and his adopted sons, but his one and only Son. They make Jesus a sinner because they tell you that if you're angry, then you're a sinner. You're in danger of the same judgment as a murderer. But the Bible, the real Bible, the King James Bible, says it's you're only in danger of that sort of judgment if you're angry without a cause. These other Bibles don't like the Trinity and remove 1 John chapter 5, I think it's up around verse 12 and 13. They remove the Trinity from the Bible. Make it one of men's footnotes. They pander to those that hate the creation and make the literal and singular first week of the entire creation of the world. They make it long ages of creation. And whenever you do that, there is no sin. No consequences. It's just life. Which means you don't need any conviction in salvation. And the Lord said, look, I'm going to keep the Bible on the face of the earth in its entirety. Until the world is consumed in flames, there will always be the Word of God on the face of the earth. And the reason for that is because we really, really need it. Now, I'm not saying you can't be saved out of those other Bibles. I was many years ago, but I don't like being lied to. I don't like half-truths. The devil deals in half-truths. We spoke about the Garden of Eden just our last service, and it was half-truths that got us into this mess in the first place. It's going to be the whole truth that'll get us out of it. And it'll not just save you, but it can save your friends and family, your neighbours and even your countrymen for the endless ages of eternity and their lives here and now. You have to watch out for those false preachers. There are the prophets of God that preach the full counsel of God's word. No matter the personal cost and fame and glory and persecution. And seeking souls that will hear the word of God and be glad when they do. And they're finally done with the lies of the compromises of the gospel of the world. And whenever they find a loving God that loves them in the truth. There are some lost souls out there and Christ rejecters that don't want to hear the word of God. Because the simple gospel and the full counsel of it is a polar opposite to the way people want to live their lives in sensation and pleasure and with a lack of consequences. That's just the way it is. They just want all of these things, even to the cost of their own souls. And it might seem like a good time right here and now, but in the endless ages of eternity, it is going to be. You will find that you've been sold nothing but a bill of goods. In this portion of God's word, we have judgment as well. Judgment for disobeying God. And yes, Christians can suffer judgment and chastening. Not judgment in the eternal sense, because that's already been carried out for a child of God. But judgment for your actions here and now, even to the end of your life. Have you ever come across Christian someone, someone that knows that you're saved, and whenever you kill a fly or a wasp, they say, what's the words? Before I even say them, a Christian wouldn't do that. It seems to be that a lot of people who aren't Christians know what a Christian should behave like. They know what a person that is going to heaven should behave like. So why don't they? Remember when Moses, the chosen of God, who did the miracles and brought the plagues upon Egypt that brought it to its knees, that broke the back of Egypt, which it never recovered from. He was told to hit the rock and water would come out of it one time to water the children of Israel. And the second time he was told to speak to the rock, but he was so angry with the children of Israel because of their gurning and moaning that he hit the rock again. And that simple act of disobedience cost him entry into the promised land. Yes, he was 120 years old by the time he saw it. But that was when he went into eternity to be with God. There is a chastening. There is a correction to the Christian in the here and now. But the real judgment for a Christian took place whenever they accepted the payment for their sins provided by Jesus Christ on the cross. As for the lost soul, they may seem to lead a charmed life. Here was this lying, cheating, compromised preacher who seemed to get away with causing the death of a man of God. And many times, lost souls seem to lead a charmed life. They can smoke and they can drink and they can be in car accidents and have all sorts of physical problems and seemingly recover from them and walk away. The sort of person they would say that if you fell in the foil, they wouldn't come up with diphtheria or typhoid or who knows what else. They would be pulled out of the foil with 2 10-pound salmons, one in each pocket. God sees the mark that sin leaves on a soul. And that mark can go on and on until it covers you completely, until it hardens that heart so completely that God would give you over to a reprobate mind. your mind would be closed to the gospel. You know what? Judgment for the lost is awful. In Luke chapter 16, it talks about the rich man in hell, not because he was rich, but because he didn't have any room in his heart for Jesus. And he said, I am tormented in this flame. All I want is a single drop of water on the tip of my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. I don't know about you. I've never been tormented. I have been tormented by drops of water on my face whenever I go out in the rain and I want to stay dry. Who would have thought that a single drop of water on the tip of your tongue would be great? And then there's something even worse for those people in store that have ended up in hell. And that is to be taken out of hell. And to stand pain-free for a brief period of time, even if it is a year or 2 years, in front of the great white throne of judgment as all of their sins are read out. And they realize that their sins weren't burned off them in hell. Hell was just a holding place. Because their eternity rests or doesn't rest in the lake of fire, as it does with every soul that refuses the free gift of everlasting life. Folks, we all have souls, and God wants to spend forever with us. It's going to be better than church all the time, and if church seems like a curse to you, forget about heaven, you're not going. You would hate heaven. We get to talk to God face to face. We get to praise Him. And I don't know if you've ever had occasion to praise someone and to thank them. But I think a bit of realization was dawning on me whenever I was in hospital. And every time the doctor or nurse came up and took blood and took my blood pressure and poked me and prodded me, I thanked them. And I meant it from the bottom of my heart. And I even shed a tear or two whenever I was leaving because of what I had been through. Even before they started cutting me in the surgery, I was thanking this Mr. Marzouk and his surgical team. Thank you for saving my life. And I'm going to thank you in advance for saving my life again. We get to thank God and praise Him face to face. You should get in the habit of thanking people. It'll stand by you when it comes to thanking God for saving your soul. We get to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The only other place to go is hell and the lake of fire. There is no limbo. There is no storehouse. There is no spiritual prison. There is no soul sleep. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, or absent from the body is to be present in hell. And the reason for this word, and the reason we stand here, and the reason we bring these words, is because God doesn't want people to go there. And He says, watch out for what you listen to. Don't be listening to fairy tales. The accounts in the Bible, they're not morality tales, just they're historical accounts of what can happen when you obey God, or on the other hand, what happens when you don't obey God, even to the cost of your own soul. Because yes, there is a God. And He has a few people that will stand up and be counted, even at tremendous physical, financial, mental cost to their own selves. But there is a devil too. And he has his preachers. Sometimes you see them in that big black sheet of plastic you have in the corner of your room. Sometimes it might even be in the church pulpit whenever you go to sit in church. But I want for to tell you, if your minister never ever tells you that you personally must make a decision to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, do you know what? He's in the Bible too. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. He's called a traitor, heady and high-minded, a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. And the Word of God says, from such turn away. because the gospel that they bring is rat poison for the soul. I heard someone say one time that rat poison is about 90 to 95% good oats and wheat, and only a few percent warfarin or heparin or one of those blood thinning agents. That's all that it takes, a tiny percentage of compromise in just the right place. That'll kill you stone dead in the endless ages of eternity. So when you come across one that's not telling you the gospel, the Bible says, from such turn away. I've got a few verses that I want to read, and then I want to close. The Bible says when you come across someone that is not telling you the truth, and we're going to come to what the truth is very shortly. This is what the Bible says about you. Psalm 1, lovely psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, when you walk away from people that are trying to destroy you, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, God will bless you. In Galatians 1 and verse 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, we have the words of Paul to the church of Galatia that he had set up. And then he heard about some half-wit, compromised gospel preacher coming in, and they all followed him. And Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, because there is only one gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul goes on to say, but though we or even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, just in case you missed it the first time, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. It's not just a matter of, oh, I prefer the NIV. Oh, I prefer the Good News for Modern Man. Or I prefer the manga version of the Bible. They are not God's word. There's enough in it to get saved, but there's not enough in it to live your life the way God would have you do it. The book of Revelation has probably one of the most clear, explicit commands. In the book of Revelation, it is written to the Roman Catholic Church. You should read it in Revelation 18. And 16 and 17 as well. Where God is speaking to a worldly, compromised, even downright wicked and anti-Christian religious organization. And this is what he says. This is what John wrote down. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Even reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Come out from among her. It never says to stay in a wicked church and restore it from within. It says abandon it. Get away from it. Run to the God that loves you and gave his life for you. For he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Hebrews 13 and 5. Now the rub comes, how do we know when a preacher's telling the truth? Well, the Bible says, that bit's on you. He says to read and study. and memorize, and it does say memorize, and apply, and preach the word of God. That's what it says. But you have to do the reading and the studying, and you have to ask questions, and you have to knock on God's door and say, God, I have no idea what your word is talking about there. Is there any chance of you showing that to me? And God doesn't say, oh my goodness, my favorite TV show is on. He says, happy days, I am more than happy to give you every little bit of wisdom that you need to get you over that hump. And whenever you have that word in your heart, whenever that forms a part of what you love and where you go to for your wisdom, whenever you have proved that, because God said, test me and prove me. He said, do the things that I command you to do and see if things don't work out better, cleaner, holier. See if you don't get a closer walk with me. See if you don't have a bit of power. See if you don't feel some of those chains that the devil would try and hold you back with just slip away. And then you will go on. Then you will trust him, and then you will grow. And then you will know whenever some preacher comes up to you and tells you there is no need to get saved, you will say, you're a traitor. You're working for the devil when you should be working for the Lord. I remember many years ago, I think it was Brother Stan, and Brother Stan, contact me and refresh the story if I get it magnificently wrong. But he was in Tesco's, and I don't know if you've ever known Brother Stan, but sometimes he just gets to loving some comfortable clothes. And at this particular time, I think it was a t-shirt that had seen better days, and a pair of joggers and beat up trainers, because Stan is a bit sore in shoes. In other words, he looked like a homeless person that had just been pulled through a hedge backwards, and he was standing in a queue behind a couple of ministers, a man and a woman, both with their collars on. And he said, are you two guys ministers? And he said, yes. And he said, do you love the word of God? Is it any good? And he says, oh, we love the word of God. We're both in it together. We're married and we're both serving the Lord in the pulpit, or words to that effect. And Stan says, well, what do you make of the portion of the word of God that says a man of God shall be the husband of one wife? And they turned around and ignored him. And if a man of God is standing at the front of the church and he can't give a reason, and he can't defend himself from the word of God when an accusation is leveled at him, you need to run the way your other fingers. If you're pointing at the man of God and he can't defend his position, he can't stand in the word of God, you need to run in the direction that the other three fingers are pointing on, which is away from the man of God, so called. You need to know the word in your heart. And whenever someone says something about it, God has made a precious promise to you that whenever you need it, the Holy Spirit will put it in the tip of your tongue. He will remind you of all the things that you have heard and that God is trying to teach you. And after God has saved your soul for the endless ages of eternity, he will save your life one gospel verse at a time, one beautiful old hymn at a time, one sermon at a time, and one applied commandment at a time. And that of your loved ones. People need to see you obeying God. You and I, we need to obey the Lord, regardless of the cost. He loves us, and he wants us in heaven. And everything that we ever think that we will lose in this world for serving the Lord, we're going to lose anyway when we step off into eternity. So let us behave like Christians. Let us behave like the children of the King of Kings. God loves you and wants the best for you. And he gave his life on the gave his son's life on the cross of Calvary to pay for all of your sins. The only thing he's not going to do for you is study your Bible for you and offer up your prayers for you. He leaves that to you, because do you know what? I think if we didn't have to do that, can you imagine the amount of trouble that we would get into. Anyway, all that glitters is not gold. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and he will keep those eyes in the right, pointed in the right direction. Right, we're going to have a closing hymn. As soon as I pull the hymn book out and check which number it is, did I take that out of... Yep, there it is there. 361. 361. Did you think to pray? Amen. 361. Did you think to pray? How many verses are in it, Mrs. B?
Four.
That's good. Final hymn for the service on this, our Sabbath day, and on your Lord's day, or indeed whenever it is that you get to listening to our service. I pray it's been a help to you. Don't forget, through all this, keep your eyes upon the Lord and be much in his presence. He just loves to hear from his kids. My dad does too. My heavenly Father does as well.
God bless you. Have a good day. And keep your eyes upon the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you and thank you for the freedoms that we still have to listen in our own homes. I know this is a strain and we miss the brethren. And we wish we could be together, but we know it's just for a little time. We love you and thank you. And we pray, Lord, for your good hand upon us as we go our separate ways. And we ask all these things and, of course, Lord, our private prayer requests and petitions in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, folks. Until the next time. Amen.